Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
How many of you are too blessed to be stressed? That is my message for tonight. We're too blessed to be stressed, and we can't let stress get the best of us. There is this new preacher talking about Paul coming back to Sunset Hills. He's not new at the game, but there is this guy who was new at the game, and he was going to the funeral, and he couldn't find the cemetery, and it was really late, and everybody was already gone when he got there. But the burial vault was there, and there were two guys working on burying the burial vault. He's like, wait. And he runs up to the burial vault, and even though the funeral was over, he was going to do his best. Right, Rev Camp? That's what it sounds like after 4 days of camp. Right, Rev Camp? How many kids were at Rev Camp? 271? Did you come back with 271? Praise God, it was a success. So he's going to do his best job, and he's sitting there, and he's like, he's preaching that funeral, and he's preaching the whole thing. He's not shortcutting, and he even gave it some extra time. He was going to make sure that man was blessed. And then turned around, got in his car, and went away. The one guy looked at the other guy, and he said, I'd never seen that happen when I was burying a septic tank before in my life. Everybody say stress.
Stress
will make you do funny things. Stress will make you do funny things. Anxiety, worry. Anybody ever stayed up all night thinking about stuff that in the morning light seemed dumb, but when you were sleeping, it didn't seem dumb. It was just keeping you awake. You're worried you were going to forget about it. 18% of all Americans are on medication for anxiety. 100% of Americans admit to worrying every single day. You know, the New York Times did a World Health Survey, and of all the nations surveyed, guess which nation said they were the most anxious and stressed out? America. America did. So I wanted to talk about what the Bible has to say about stress, anxiety, and worry. Because let me ask you this. Does it say anywhere in your Bible, thou shalt live an uptight, overwhelmed, tight face, stressed out life? Does it say that anywhere? But how many of us feel that way frequently? Go on, get your hand up, leave it up, look around, put it high just so we can all see. It's pretty normal, right? It's a thing that the enemy brings to all of us. I call it the gap between the real and the ideal. You see, there's the real life and life how it goes, and there's the ideal life. It's what the Kardashians are doing. It's the fact that they only wear an outfit only once. I got embarrassed when I came up on the front row right now because Wendy and Dave are here with us from the Florida campus. Say hi, hey, wait, Wendy and Dave. And we got a whole troop of people here from Florida that went to Rev Camp. Rev Camp Florida represent. And I realized, oh snap, I wore this last Sunday at the West Palm Beach campus. They might think it's the only clothes I wear. Because of social media, we see everybody's highlight reel, never their practice days. Woke up like this is a lie. If you did, you spray tan, got your eyelashes sewn in, got a sew-in weave. You did not wake up like that. It took 27 takes and some leftover eyeliner to make that happen. And that's just on my husband. The real and the ideal. The romantic comedy tells us that every fight ends with us all getting back together again and everything is fabulous. But instead, we worry. We say, everybody say worry.
Worry.
But God did not call us to be obsessed by distress and disquiet and disease on the inside of us. No, he told us that we're supposed to move from fretfulness to faithfulness. We're supposed to be fortified by grace, not weakened by worry. So I have an example to show you what stress does for us. So I'm going to need a volunteer, but before you raise your hand, I need a promise from you. What I am about to do to this volunteer might not look very nice. Will you forgive me in advance?
Yes.
You will? Okay. With that said, Julie may have a microphone, and who would like to volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Who's that? Is that Kyle under that hat? Okay, come here, Kyle, under that hat. All right, so what's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle, what's your last name?
Marler.
Where do you live?
Potosi, Missouri.
Why are you sitting over there with those people?
I just got back from Rev Camp.
Ah, so what was your favorite part of Rev Camp?
Just seeing the students.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Well, my heart is beating a billion. My middle name is Paul.
Paul. Kyle, thank you very much. Wow. You survived that, man. You made it. You made it. What just happened? Well, what happened is I got his middle name, and now I can break into his bank account. No, I'm teasing. He knew where he was. He knew where he'd been. He knew his middle name, but as soon as the stressor was introduced, all it was a random scream. But I lost him. His heart started racing. He walked away, and I don't know if you could hear him because the microphone was away. He goes, "What just happened? What just happened?" That's what happens to us when the guy cuts us off in traffic and we think we're going to be in a car accident. That's what happens when we're at work and all of a sudden this work gets piled on our desk and we don't know how we're going to handle it. That's what the enemy intends to do to you. The Bible says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge. What we don't know is what the enemy's trying to get us with. So all he has to do is send someone random to scream, put some headline on the bottom of the TV 24 hours a day that is going to freak us out. All he has to do is give us some bad news, and suddenly our IQ points drop by up to 30 points in an instant. Suddenly we can't make good decisions. How many of us would raise our hand and say, we have several opportunities a day to be stressed out because things happen to us? Now you can see the plan of the enemy. Even Paul in the Bible was anxious. Paul is the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And yet in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 13, he said, "Yet my spirit could not rest. I couldn't relax. I couldn't get relief." This is the Amplified Version. "I did not find my brother Titus there." I read that and thought, well, he should have gone to the West Palm Beach campus. That's where he leads worship. "So I took leave from them and departed for Macedonia." If even Paul, mass murderer of Christians prior to meeting Jesus, he can murder people in cold blood, but he can't get rest and relief because he can't find somebody? Everybody say the enemy. The enemy has a plan. He wrote that in 2 Corinthians in about 55 AD. He wrote the answer to that about 7 years later in the year 62 AD. And he wrote it in what is now known as the most highlighted passage of the Bible, according to Amazon. You see, Amazon has all the Kindles and all the online books, so whenever we highlight that stuff, Amazon keeps record of what we are highlighting. Doesn't that scare you just a little bit? But they keep record of everything. And when I saw that they had a most highlighted passage of the Bible, I thought it would probably be, I don't know, John 3:16, Lord's Prayer, 23rd Psalm. No, it's where we're going. We're going to go to Philippians 4 in our Bibles. And I'm going to start with verse 7, which is not actually where we're starting. I'm going to start right here, and then we're going to work backwards just a little bit. And what I'm going to give you today are five things. Everybody say five things.
Five things.
Five things straight out of Scripture that will deactivate stress in your life. Five things straight out of Scripture that will deactivate stress in your life. Well, this one is the benefit to all of that. Why? Why do we want to do these five things? Verse 7 says that. And it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding." The peace of God. Did you know you could have peace when you shouldn't have peace? I remember walking into an airport one time. We were traveling internationally. We went to the airport. And while we had been on this trip, there had been a shooting in Turkey in Istanbul airport, I think it was. And some people had been shot in the airport. So when we walk into this airport internationally, there's these guys, these guards, these military guards walking around with AK-47s. How many of you know my stress level went up and my IQ went down? I was already freaking out. But what were they doing? They were guarding the airport to keep it safe. So, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. This is the way to surround your heart, to surround that piece of you that's been worried, to surround your emotions, to surround your mind with an AK-47, letting the devil know, not today, Satan, not today, not on our watch. So how do you do it? How do you guard your heart and mind? How do you get peace that passes all understanding? Let's go backwards one scripture, and we're going to start in Philippians 4:6. Mark Twain said, I've had thousands of problems in my life, most of which never actually happened. You see, worry is one of those things, it's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it's never going to get you anywhere. I'm going to sit here and rock and rock and rock, but we're not going anywhere. So before we get in the five things, I do want to start at the very beginning of that scripture because it's important to know, when will this work for me? When can I apply this in my life? When is this applicable? And Philippians 4:6 starts with, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. How many situations?
Every.
So only the situations with your kids? What situation?
Every.
So it works at work?
Yes.
So it works at church?
Yes.
It works with road rage?
Yes.
It works with your spouse?
Yes.
It works to help you find a spouse?
Yes.
Yeah. In every situation. So now that we know this works all the time, let's dive in. Number one, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. That's number one, prayer and petition. There's a poet that said, every morning I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. If he's going to be up all night, why should we be up all night? Now, there is scientific proof that backs up that prayer is powerful. What is prayer? It's your high God time. It's when you talk to him. It's when you share with him what's going on. And I know your best friend probably has some good advice, but how many of us know our best friend has also given us some advice that's really been wrong? How many have had people call you and you have no idea what to do, but you don't want to let them down, so you make it up? Right? But God always knows what to do. But we have to share with him. Everybody say, share with him.
Share with him.
Talk with him. And so I want to read to you for 1 second just a couple of things from some medical studies that were done. This is after an exhaustive analysis of more than 1,500 reputable medical studies. It says it indicates people who are more religious and pray more have better mental and physical health, says Duke University's Dr. Harold G. Koenig. And out of 125 studies that looked at the link between health and regular worship, everybody say regular worship.
Regular.
Now tell your neighbor, tell them, I go to church. Turn to the other side and tell them, and I got an iConnect. Watch how frequency impacts our mental health. Watch this. It says out of 125 studies that looked at the link between health and regular worship, 85 showed that regular churchgoers live longer. In 2006, the University of Texas says there is a 7-year difference in life expectancy between those who never attend church and those who attend weekly. Wow. Weekly. Weekly. That's why the enemy is trying to pull Americans out of church. That's why the enemy is trying to pull prayer out of school. You know, it used to be that Americans used to go to church once a week. Then it was one out of every 2 weeks. Now Barna's latest study says that Americans go to church one out of every 4 weeks. Do you see how he's trying to steal our health? Do you see how he's trying to steal our joy? That's how iConnects fit in, because if you're traveling on a Sunday, at least you can be connected with your small group, amen? Because maybe they meet on a Wednesday. So you might be a doubter. The proof of the power of prayer is overwhelming, says researcher and writer Tom Knox, a one-time atheist who became a regular worshiper after doing the in-depth study on the medical benefits of faith. It says the benefits of devout religious practice, particularly involvement in a faith community. I'm like, well, thank you for inserting the name of our church. And religious commitment are that people cope better. In general, they deal with stress better. They experience greater well-being because they have more hope. They're more optimistic. They experience less depression. They have less anxiety. They commit suicide less often. They have stronger immune systems and lower blood pressure. Is that some good news? That's why it's so important to invite your family and your friends to church. It's so important to invite them to Jesus because Jesus is the answer. What was the question? Oh, gosh, they didn't get that, Pastor Paul. I'll try it over here. I understand Rev might be tired, but I'm going to try it over here. You know, Jesus is the answer. What was the question?
Come on. That's a good word.
It's a good word. When we come and we commune with him, when we get with him, when we go to bed at night. So number one is prayer and petition. So how do you put that into your life? Go ahead, if you're a note taker, write this down. When I go to bed at night, I will talk to God about my day. A problem worth worrying about is a problem worth praying about. A problem not worth praying about is a problem not worth worrying about. So why is it that we would worry about something and not pray about it? So let's start a little habit. Go ahead and climb in bed. Go ahead and turn the lights off. And then just go ahead and start talking to him before you go to bed. There is a story about a man. And he knew the end of his life was coming. So he wanted the pastor to come to his house. So the pastor came. And when pastor walked into his room real quietly, he was about 15 minutes early. He saw the man talking to an empty chair. And he said, it must be close to his time. He's kind of going in and out already. The man said, excuse me, pastor, I'm sorry you caught me doing that. I've been living with my daughter for the last couple of years and she's never caught me. Please don't tell her. He said, I know it probably looked interesting, but years ago I had trouble talking to God and I didn't know how to pray and my pastor told me this. He said, sit at a table, pull up a chair, put an empty chair across from you, get your coffee and have coffee with Jesus and talk to him while you're there. He said, so I can't sit at a table anymore, but I had that empty chair and I was talking to Jesus. Well, the pastor prayed with him, and it was about 48 hours later that the daughter called and said her father had passed. And the pastor was asking her some questions, and she said, pastor, it was the strangest thing. He hadn't been out of bed in a couple of weeks, but when I went in and found him, he had his head in the empty chair. He had developed such a strong prayer life of just talking to God. Everybody say, talking to God. When it was time to transition, he was ready to deal with it. So number two, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation with number one, prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That word makes me hungry, right? I'm like, I am ready for some sweet potato pie with some green bean casserole, with some pecan pie, with a big old turkey, with cornbread stuffing. Don't give me that regular stuffing. I want the cornbread stuffing. But that's not the kind of Thanksgiving we're talking about here, is it? There's an easy way to build Thanksgiving into our lifestyle. And something I heard somebody else do and I adopted into my life is here's the way I start my day. Everybody write, start your day. So we figured out how to end our day. Now let's talk about how we start our day. You know, things happen, you wake up late, you don't know what to do, your time gets robbed, you head for your Bible and instead a kid spills something or somebody knocks on the door, your phone rings, and our time gets stolen sometimes. But here's something we can do before we get out of bed in 90 seconds or less. We can be thankful for 10 things. We can be thankful for 10 things. And you might be thinking right now, I don't got anything to be thankful for. Well, let me ask you this question. Did you wake up in a bed? That's something you can start with. If you're so low in the thankfulness tank that we got to go there, we can. You can say, thank you, Jesus, that I woke up in a bed. Thank you, Jesus, that I woke up under the roof of a house. Thank you, Jesus, that I had air conditioning because it was 100 degrees outside last night. Thank you, Jesus, that I have windows that close because it was a heck of a storm out there. Thank you, Jesus, that I can get up today and when I put two legs on the floor, they both work. Thank you, Jesus, that I can walk myself to the bathroom and nobody's got to clean me up because I don't want to do that. Thank you, Jesus, that I've got a job to go to. And if you don't have a job to go to, say that I'm able to get a job in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that I got a job that maybe you were complaining about before. And you say that I got a job that I can pay my bills. Thank you, Jesus, that I go to the best church in the entire country. We end our day talking to God. We begin our day before our feet even hit the floor. Do you see how quick I did that? That's 10 things right there. 10 things. We can do that. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, I can do that. So let's move on to number 3. We know how to end our day. We know how to end our day. We know how to begin our day. Now what do we do in the day? Well, it says, let me go back to that scripture. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Present your requests to God. So basically, you might be thinking, didn't you already say pray? Doesn't that mean pray? Yes and no. Prayer is the conversation. Somebody was cracked up at that voice. I don't know who this lady is, but she lives out here somewhere. Prayer is talking to God, but talking to God is not necessarily asking God for things. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, ask and you shall receive. Not just talk to God about it. Not just complain to God about it. Not just kind of mention it sideways to God. It says to do what?
Ask.
It says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Everybody who asks shall receive. Who's going to receive? Everybody who asks shall receive. Everybody who seeks will find. Everybody who knocks, the door will be open. Knock, knock.
There.
Broken pencil. It's pointless. You think it's just a bad joke. But that's what a lot of people think prayer is. They think it's pointless. Why should I knock? Nobody's going to answer the door. God's not, I'm going to storm the gates of heaven. Well, read your Bible, friend. The gates are open and you've been invited to the throne room. But if we never knock, I'm hungry right now and I want to eat. So if after church you went home and I went to your house because I knew you were cooking up something good, and I wanted to eat with you, and I stood at your front door, expectant, knowing that you'd probably let me in, knowing that you had enough for me too, hungry, but you never came to the door, I'd be freaking out. Why aren't they coming to the door? Do they not like me? Do they not want me here? Did I do something to offend them? Oh, surely I'm not worthy of being here. Surely I'm not worthy. No. You never knew I wanted in. If I come to your house and I want in the house, I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to knock on that front door. How many of you, if I came and knocked on your front door, you would let me in? It's the same with God. You have to ask. You have to knock. You have to make it known. Matthew 21:22. Says, in all things you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive. We just need to ask. Everybody say, ask.
Yes.
It works out good when we ask things. There was this 60th high school reunion. This little old man and this little old lady, they had dated back in high school. And one was a widower and one was a widow. And so they were there together talking all night. Finally, at the end of the night, he mustered up the courage. And he said, Edna, I should have asked you 62 years ago to be my bride. Would you marry me? And Edna said, yes, I will marry you, Harold. They both go home to their homes that night. The next morning, Harold was like, I don't remember if she said yes or no. Did she say yes or did she say no? So he called up Edna. He said, Edna, it's Harold. Last night I asked you if you would marry me. Did you say yes or did you say no? Edna said, yes. I said yes with all my heart. And he said, oh, good, because I couldn't remember if you said yes or no. Edna said, "That's okay. I can't remember who asked." Everybody say ask.
Ask.
And ask again. He had to ask last night and in the morning. It's okay. Just ask. So number one, bring your prayer and petition to God. Number two, with thanksgiving. Number three, ask him. Everybody say ask him.
Ask.
We got to ask him. Present your request. And number four. Number four starts with verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And here's how you label number four. Think about such things. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Because the enemy will sneak right in there. This, my friends, if you wanted another word for think on these things, you could just write down, use a filter. You see, we have a filter on our water at our house because this doctor's like, friend of ours, he's like, oh, the water's terrible. It's got all this junk. You have to buy this distiller thing. And it was like $500. But he talked us into it. We didn't buy it from him. He had us buy it from, you know, this website or whatever. And we went, we bought it, we installed it. And the water tasted like water. Just saying. I was like put out. I was upset until a certain number of months went by, and then the water started smelling fishy. And now I was really mad. I'm like, my water never smelled like fish before. This is a hot mess. So I called him and he said, did you change the filter? I said, well, no. So he told me how to do it, and we pulled up a YouTube, and you have to unscrew this pot and you have to get it out, and it is coated in this hard, white, thick, gunky material. I'm like, it won't come out. He said, oh no. It won't come out. You have to soak it overnight with vinegar. So we poured vinegar on it, and in the morning we still have to. And the stuff that comes out of there is so sharp, it will cut you. It's the stuff that we're drinking. He said, that's exactly why people have aneurysms. That's exactly why people have hardening of the arteries. That's exactly why people have clots. That's exactly why people have heart attacks. He said, that would be on the inside of you. Everybody say, we need a filter. It's the same thing that happens to our mind. If we don't think about what we're thinking about, we start thinking, oh my gosh, what if the economy dives? Oh my gosh, what if the stock market crashes? Oh my gosh, what if I get laid off? Oh my gosh, we're worried about getting laid off and our boss is at his house thinking we're the best employee and he hopes we never leave. Oh my gosh, what if they leave me? We're freaking out that they're having an affair and they're actually making a plan to have you a surprise party. What if? Back to Mark Twain. He said, I've worried about thousands of things. Hardly any of them have ever happened. We have to filter it. Everybody say, filter it.
Filter.
We have to think about what we're thinking about. Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. And my last point, number five. Everybody say, number five. Number five is verse 9. So we did verse 6, 7, 8, and this is verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. That's number five. Put it into practice.
Well, why? Why do I have to do all this stuff?
Because the next sentence says, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace, sweet peace. How do you get peace? You put this stuff into practice. You see, it's not what you know, it's what you do. You can know everything. You can know that eating 9 Big Macs a day will make you gain weight, but if you still eat 9 Big Macs a day, okay, no more jokes about McDonald's. Got it. You guys sent a clear message. We're going to pick on Long John Silver. If you eat 27 fried fish meals a day, knowing it and doing it are two different things. I think Rihanna said it best. Everybody work, 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 work. It won't work unless you work it. I said it that way for the Rev Camp guys. It won't work unless you work it, because that sounds like something y'all would say. You gotta work, 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 work. You can't know about it, young friends, because you know, they say that teenagers right now have higher anxiety levels than ever in their history. That's why, too, it's so good to get an iConnect. If y'all just went to camp this past week and you're gonna come back from camp and not getting a student iConnect, not getting a Rev Connect, that wouldn't be a smart decision, because you need to get that circle of people around you. You need to get Kyle around you, and Dre around you, Kamika around you, and Brandon around you, and Rhea around you, and Ashley around you. You need all these people around you to help lift you back up, because you're high right now. Life is good right now, but there will come a day when school is going to feel like a hot mess. And then when you have those people who can say, I know what they said about you, but let me tell something about you that they don't know. I know what God says about you. And he said you were created for this. You were purposed for this. You were intended for this. And then they can be encouraging us. Habits. Everybody say habits.
Habits.
It said that habits are the invisible architecture of everyday life. We repeat about 40% of our life and daily habit and daily routine. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of y'all are in the section that you usually sit in? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you are in the row that you usually sit in? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you are in the seat that you usually sit in? Say amen.
Amen.
Right? How many of you are ticked off because somebody else sat in your seat and you had to move? No, don't say anything. Don't say anything. We are creatures of habit. So what we want to do is develop more habits that we don't have to think about. We want to develop the habit of being thankful before we get out of bed. We want to develop the habit of talking to God before we fall asleep. We want to develop the habit of asking God while we're talking to him, while thinking about that empty chair. We want to develop the habit of some simple things in life, because we only have so much self-control every day. We only have so much self-control every day, and if we use it remembering to put the coffee mug in the dishwasher. I know sometimes I pray, I'm like, dear God, so far I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, I haven't said a foul word, I haven't been overindulgent. God, I'm really happy about it, but in a few minutes I'm going to get out of bed. And I'm going to need you to be with me. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. God wants you to live healthy and strong. He wants you to live fortified, not fearful. He wants you to live as a winner, not worrisome. He knows that you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. He's your good, good Father. He wants you to ask things of him. Come into his courts with thanksgiving. Come into his gates with praise. So we know how to approach the morning being thankful. We know how to end the day talking to him. We know it's okay to ask, and now we've remembered we got to talk to him a lot. And if we put it into practice, everybody say, put it into practice. Not only are we going to live longer like science says, but we will live stronger like the word says. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've had some stress, worry, and anxiety, and just... if you haven't been sleeping, if your stomach's been upset, if you've been having digestion issues, if your blood pressure's been going up, maybe you got put on blood pressure medication, would you raise your hand, whether you're online, Facebook, Sunset Hills, wherever you are? There's no distance in prayer. I'm praying for you right now. I know there's people watching in Texas right now, watching in New Jersey right now, watching in Connecticut right now. They're watching in the Caymans right now. They're watching in California right now, Washington. There's no distance in prayer, and God is talking to you right now. Actually, God is flowing through my spirit right now at such a strong rate that it's kind of shutting my mind down, because my spirit is flowing, because he's got a word that he wants you to hear, and that word is this. This can be the last night that you worry about sleeping. That can be over. It can be a thing of the past. God says, you've asked me to help you have sweet sleep. God says, now I'm asking you to trust me with it. And if you trust me with it, your sleep will be sweet. It will be regenerative. It will be restful. You will be filled. You will be fueled. And you will be awake. And you will be ready. He said, the person that you meet tomorrow in the mirror will be refreshed. And you'll look at yourself and say, that's what one night did. If you want that to be you in the morning, stand up right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single one of my friends that are standing up. If they're driving a car, they're standing up on the inside. God, that you break this curse that's been trying to rob them of their years, that's been trying to rob them of their joy, that's been trying to rid them of their life. Enemy, we rebuke you and we bind you up in the name of Jesus. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore, I loose the power of God. I loose the knowledge of God. I loose the wisdom of God. I loose the favor of God. I loose the energy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's flowing into them. And they can stand up and face the day knowing the God of heaven and earth is on their side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.